Wheat. I'm dead. They're talking about wheat. The question is, have I learned anything about life? Only that human beings are divided into mind and body. The mind embraces all the nobler aspirations like poetry and philosophy. But the body has all the fun. The important thing, I think, is not to be bitter. You know, if it turns out that there is a God, I don't think that he's evil. I think that the worst you can say about him is that basically he's an underachiever. After all, you know, there are worse things in life than death. I mean, if you've ever spent an evening with an insurance salesman, you know exactly what I mean. The key here, I think, is to not think of death as an end, but think of it more as a very effective way of cutting down on your expenses. Regarding love, you know, what can you say? It's not the quantity of your sexual relations that count. It's the quality. On the other hand, if the quantity drops below once every 8 months, I would definitely look into it. Well, that's about it for me, folks. Goodbye.
I watch it in Christmas.
So, hi, welcome to the Only Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damon.
And this is Douglas.
And we have about 12 minutes of unusable material.
There's only about 6 in there. Or are you saying that it's so unusable that it counts as 12?
Double XP for that. Unusable.
Wow.
Remember when we used to do this live?
Oh yeah, I
remember that train wreck.
I remember that.
That was a good idea.
It's unfortunate.
We streamed this out to 2 people.
That was unfortunate. And it broke. That could have been something.
Every week, it broke every week.
Something nice. And remember, we tried to actually play trailers in it.
Yeah. We used to talk about trailers. News.
That wasn't too
like
long
19,
ago.
19 weeks after the news and trailers came out. This week we'll talk about this old trailer that no one cares about it.
But I guess what, guys, we won't watch this movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we filled out all the bad trailers.
All the bad trailers.
Yeah, we don't want to watch.
Yeah. Well, except for the ones that each of us, for whatever reason, decided had to go on the podcast.
Right.
Because I think each of us had at least one trailer where we championed.
Mm-hmm.
And
then
it was
everyone
horrible.
Just looked at you like...
Yeah.
I'm like, musical, guys. Because I like, no.
Douglas, like, this foreign movie, what trailer came out 19, I was like, Douglas, no. And then Andrew would see the same trailer 9 weeks later.
With
like,
subtitles, finally.
Like, yeah. And I was like, I talked about this, I told you guys to put this trailer on, like, 9 years ago.
And then we'll watch it, and we're like, Douglas, no. Andrew, no.
Yeah,
this trailer's terrible.
Anyways, moving into this week,
I had
asked for us to all sit down and watch the latest film, or should I say joint? Am I allowed to make all movies joints?
Nope, Spike Lee is the only person that has joints.
The latest film by Woody Allen, and that being Blue Jasmine.
So what do you think?
I love it. You shouldn't spoil me so.
Well, why not? Who else am I going to spoil?
He met me at a party and swept me off my feet.
I fell in love with the name Jasmine.
No, I have never been to San Francisco. I'll be staying with my sister.
Jasmine! Oh my God.
Look at you.
Your place is homey.
Oh, the flight was bumpy.
The food was awful.
I mean, you'd think first class.
I thought you were tapped out.
I'm dead broke. Really, I mean, the government took everything.
All I can say is you look great.
Now who's lying?
Damian,
mm-hmm.
What did you think of this film?
I didn't watch it on principle. That's the lie I'm sticking with. Sure, I could say to my internet provider, deprived me of a... I think it's a human right in some countries.
It is. It is. In Europe, in some European countries,
right.
The internet is a human right.
Like, dog. And so, Cable and Wireless once again. I'm sorry. Line, I think, is the name of the company, you know. Deprived me of a basic human right. I had no internet. And so, I had to find other ways to entertain myself. which was surprisingly, like, I'm
the same
scared.
Way that Giroux entertained himself today after he won.
Absolutely
his
not.
Like,
I don't know what you're talking about, because I've seen him
score the goal. Giroud didn't score the goal, right? But he was really excited,
right.
And he kept pumping his fist, mm-hmm. because, you know, yeah, he's excited,
right.
Except he was pumping his fist like this.
Good work.
And then at the end of it, he did like this.
He's French.
For all of you who weren't in the room, Douglas just pretended to masturbate himself.
I'm pretty sure everybody got that. Fairly certain.
And they kept showing it on the replay.
Of course.
And I don't think anybody realized. I think I'm the only one that is about 5 years old.
And of course, everyone goes crazy whenever they do this on... Mm-hmm. On television. Like, no, you shouldn't do that.
Well, it's like giving the finger, right? That's what their...
they're British.
Their version of it is.
Sometimes
I
worry about them. anyway, didn't get to watch a movie.
Didn't get to watch a movie.
But you think you would hate it, right?
Like, looking... Mm-hmm. If we go based on his average,
I hear you.
It's not looking real good. However, one of my favorite actresses of all time is in it, so that is always a plus,
mm-hmm.
a giant, giant plus. But she's coming bad movies.
Yeah, she has.
So
yeah, she has.
Right. So Douglas, I know Andrew loves this movie because
yeah.
we're telling me. You're somewhat more rational at times. Like,
enough.
You still love him. Like, he invented films, but... you're a little bit more
He
rational.
Was around when they did
You
it.
Stop. Douglas Robinson, Blue Jasmine.
Blue Jasmine.
How goes it?
Well, first off, I want Andrew at least to tell us what this movie's about.
It's a Woody Allen movie. It's about the same shit over and over again.
So this movie is about Cate Blanchett's character, Jasmine. Who is a what's the word? Is a socialite? Is that the word?
Yeah,
that
could be used.
Who has had to come and live with her much less statured sister? Is that even the way you would say it?
Oh my God.
Totally butchered whatever English existed in that moment. After her husband, who apparently was doing a lot of illegal things financially, has been arrested and all the money has gone and blah blah blah, and she has at the same time fallen into a horrendous depression, and basically we are to follow her along this 90-minute journey of deciding whether we hate her as a person more than we feel sorry for her having to go through some really horrid shit throughout this movie. And I mean, I say horrid shit in a very loose tone, because when you say things like that, people think of Act of Killing level of horrid shit.
No, we are the only people that would think
and,
that.
Because horrid shit is relative to every person. And
I don't like that statement. That's something that sociopaths say. Bad shit is relative.
Because look, we can always have the who's had a worse day at a fight, and everyone will say you can pull out the worst shit in the world and say you've won, but that doesn't mean that that person didn't feel.
I know what you're trying to say. I'm going to move. Understand.
All right. And it's a tough watch, to be quite honest. Like, I'm not gonna lie, and I don't mean a tough watch in a sense of a bad movie tough watch where you're painfully trying to find the good in this movie. What it is,
like this movie.
What it is one of those movies where you end up, as I say, hating this person so much and hating spending time with this person, because that's what it ends up being. You're spending time with this person, right? And it's the kind of person that if they were beside you, you just punch them after around 2 minutes and walk away. You wouldn't think about the social norms of you don't hit a girl or any of those kind. You just punch them out and say, you know what, I'm gone. I'm not dealing with this bullshit today. But at the same time, I kind of have to tip my hat to Woody Allen with this movie, because as I say, it shifts that pendulum between I hate this woman and... Oh, I think I think this all of what exists in front of me came from somewhere, which I can logically say I should probably empathize with her a little bit. I should be like, you know what, honey, you've had a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. I feel sorry for you. I'll sit down and listen to you some more. And it just keeps going step by step throughout the movie. And like, what dawned on me halfway through is how happy all of the people around her are. And I don't mean happy like as just jumping with joy or overflowing, but just generally like they have the most optimistic outlook on life in everything. Like, she'll walk in the room and be like, my drink is cold. I'm like, honey, it's all right, your drink is all right. Everyone gets a warm drink every day, every once in a while. You live. And just trying to guide her to a happy path, and she's not going there anywhere at all. And eventually when we get to like Michael Stuhlbarg, like, you just kind of question, is she what's the word, is she unfounded in just being a horrible person in this movie? It takes me through these things that makes me slowly but surely want to love this movie, but at the same time it's not a movie I'm ever going to watch again anytime soon. But Douglas, you saw this movie.
I did see this movie.
How did you feel?
Okay, so, to be honest, I'm not sure how I feel about this movie. But but I want to at least take you through a story. Not a real story, but so,
fake one?
A fake story. Yes. Just like the ones that Andrew loves.
My favorite.
Is it a Woody Allen story?
Nope.
So, well, first off, let's just acknowledge that this movie is at its core a vehicle for proving to those who for some reason didn't know that Cate Blanchett can act the shit out of anything that she's given. Alright? Because that's really what it is. Right? This is a character study, and the lens is squarely on her face 100% of the time. Okay? And in that regard, I am in love with this movie. Now, let's get to everything else about the movie.
This sounds good.
What's funny, and I actually like the way... it's an odd... This movie is interesting, right? So in the beginning, we see Cate Blanchett on a plane talking with somebody who's sitting beside her, and you get a sense really quickly of what type of a person Cate Blanchett is, and that's not a good thing, right? I think it took about 2 or 3 minutes for them to go from she's on the plane to she's receiving her baggage to she's getting out of the airport. About halfway through those 2 to 3 minutes, so let's say a minute and a half into this movie, I was like, oh, that's what this movie is going to be. Fuck this movie. But on, I don't know, further review, not really further minutes, but after watching the movie a little bit longer, I realized actually that was the best way to start this movie. Because it kind of threw you into the deep end, and it said to you, listen guys, this is who Cate Blanchett is. Like it or love it or hate it, for better or for worse, and this is what this movie is going to be about. This movie is going to be about this woman and how pretentious she is, how selfish she is, how absolutely crazy she is, and just every other flaw that she has. We're going to put her under the microscope and show you everything, right? And again, for that I applaud this movie. And if it was just that, let me put it a different way. If this movie kind of executed a bit better, I would probably say that this would easily be one of my top 10, right? But I don't think it executed the way that it should have. And where I really had the problem, because I really enjoyed the story, where the story went, because really what we're seeing is, as Andrew said, a woman who is coming from, well, so she's, you know, let's say she's rich, right? She married a rich husband, and, you know, she's gotten accustomed to the finer things in life. And, you know, she goes to places like Saint-Tropez and Morocco and all of those places, right? And no, she did not see the one-legged whore in Morocco. Okay.
We're all bad people.
Yeah, we are. But no, she's had to take quite a few steps down, mm-hmm. right? She has to know... She's divorced. Mm-hmm. Her husband has had some problems with the law.
What?
And she has no money to her name. And she has to now live with
her
sister.
Even though she flew first class.
Well, that's yet another little gem that I adore about this movie, right? You know, you'll see her say, oh, I have not a dollar to my name. And you see the reaction that the taxi cab driver gets when she tips him. Because, and she even makes the decision, you know, she picks out one bill then picks out another one. And the reaction she gives him, clearly she gave him like $100 bill or something like that.
She's not a poor person.
Right, exactly. She still has Louis Vuitton bags, luggage. She traveled first class so that she could live with her sister, who lives in, I think it's San Francisco or somewhere in the sort of California region. And her sister is definitely not high life, right? She's a working girl. Mm-hmm. You know, she packs bags at a grocery store.
She's a real person.
That's how working girl means.
Oh, sorry. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. No, I take that back. Not a working girl, but she does work for money.
Does it involve bags?
It involves...
Small bags.
No, big bags.
Bags by Jimmy.
Big paper bags, okay?
Fair enough.
Anyway, you know, she works at a grocery store. She essentially, she lives, and she, you know, lives within her means, but she's by no means, you know, anywhere close to what, in terms of dollar figures, what, Kate Blanchett was doing when she was married, or not that she was doing, but what she's used to. And this movie, it's this great story, this great study of this person who has got knocked down to what would at least by her standards be considered rock bottom, and then watching her realize that she don't reach rock bottom yet, and watching her take that plunge towards rock bottom. And I guess this makes sense that I like this part of the movie, because guess what? I like horribly depressing films. Right? But what I didn't like about this movie, and it really had to do with, I think, Alan's execution, because there were times that I liked it, there were times that I didn't. What he relies on a lot in this film is flashbacks, and I didn't like the way that the flashbacks happen. So,
I love them.
Well, hold on, it's an odd situation. So they work sometimes, they don't work other times. And what about them? I don't like is that sometimes you're like, wait, is this what he's trying to do? Because he does it sometimes, but not every time. So let's just put it on the table. Cate Blanchett is definitely crazy. Like,
yeah.
This is not me saying she's crazy because she's mean. She has a screw loose somewhere in her head. So much so that from the beginning of the movie, and it progresses more towards the end, as you know, you see it happen as people comment on it. She talks to herself a lot. And you realize when she's talking to herself, what she's really doing is she's essentially playing back a moment in time that she's already been through, like, you know, a better time.
Mm-hmm.
She's playing back when her husband took her to Saint-Tropez, or when her husband gave her a fancy new bracelet for her birthday because she was a good girl. But and what I don't really like about the flashbacks, especially towards the beginning of the movie, is that they feel very much like they're there, or their placement rather is for no rhyme or reason, right? The value of the information that they give you, and of course the entertainment value once you're in there, is fine, right? But it feels like they're just around, you know. They'll be like, well, okay, we finished this scene, let's just do a flashback. But kind of towards, I think, the middle of the movie, you get to realize, or it seems that Woody Allen got a little bit more deliberate with his placements, where you'd realize that the flashbacks actually related to what she was being crazy about. So she'd start talking to herself, and, you know, you'd hear her talking about, oh, this bracelet looks lovely, it's wonderful, and all of a sudden the flashback would be the scene where her husband gives her the bracelet for her birthday, or something along those lines. But it wasn't always like that. And if it was, I think I would have loved this movie 100%. But for me, it was so jarring to go back and forth, even though, as I say, it's a great way to kind of get the background to her and who she is, and for you to know, fully understand where she started. And when I say started, I don't even mean started with her husband, where she started when she was a child, to where she went, her heights that she achieved, so to speak, by marrying this ridiculously rich person, to where she is now, in terms of, you know, living with her, I wouldn't say struggling, but probably struggling to some extent, sister, who, you know, packs bags for a living. And I think that for me, the question of do I like this movie,
mm-hmm,
is not really, that's not really the question that you need to ask me.
All
right. I think the question you need to ask me is, does Cate Blanchett's performance outweigh and transcend the rest of the movie? And I kind of I've been flip-flopping on that ever since I watched it a couple of days ago, and I think the more that I think about it, the answer is yes, it does outweigh the rest of this movie. I think that she was brilliant. Cate Blanchett is Cate Blanchett. She really pulled Cate Blanchett
right
on this movie.
Right?
And everything else is good enough. Right? So, I complain about the flashbacks, but the truth is, they do help you to appreciate the situation, to appreciate the movie much more. You know, and I don't think that there's any way for me to really say much about this movie without bias, because in my mind, no matter what I try to talk about, my head keeps coming back to, holy shit, Cate Blanchett. Right?
I hear that she's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oscar-worthy.
Oh, yes. Yes, this would be Oscar-worthy. I know they announced the Oscars. I don't
Did
know
she
if she's...
Get one?
She got nominated.
Okay, good. Good for her.
A shocking turn.
But yeah, Andrew, I think I'm going to have to come down on the side of this movie is fucking awesome. But probably not for the reasons that you want me to.
No, I'm perfectly fine with it. Because I admit, like, I have no issue with anyone not liking this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as I say, it's a really hard movie to get through.
Yes,
where,
it is.
Like all Woody Allen.
No, I'm not even talking like
normal.
This is nothing like...
That was just a dumb
joke. I know, but it's so surprising to me because honestly, like when I saw the cast for this movie, I was like, oh, he's doing a regular Woody Allen movie with all of these things, plus Cate Blanchett is awesome.
Yeah.
I want to watch that,
yeah.
Right? But this movie, like, I almost don't even know where to place this in Woody Allen filmography because, as you made the joke, it's kind of half true. 80% of Woody Allen movies are all the freaking same,
yeah.
Right? He just rinses the cast and throws in some of the same type of jokes, changes the location, and we're all happy.
He has jokes in his movies.
let's not go that far. I'm giving you a certain amount here. Let's not go this far. Right? How dare you?
Scoop. All
right. Well, no. To be fair to Andrew. Mm-hmm. That is a movie within the past, say, 30 years.
Okay.
Go back to, like, the 70s.
Oh, okay.
And this guy is insane.
Okay.
Yeah, great.
Mm-hmm. Right, a land before time.
Yes.
Go back to when the sun didn't shine all the while.
Because the list that we have to do, mm-hmm. it's so hilarious. It was, like, the couple movies recently that
mm-hmm.
he's done.
And then
1975.
Before human
yeah,
beings
it was crazy.
Yeah, this movie... I really like this movie. Damien, you will love this movie.
Look, I love... Like, I've watched her in almost everything she's been in. And I like Cate Blanchett because she's incredible.
I'm trying to think of a performance I like more by Cate Blanchett. I can't think of one.
But this one, you see, this one is so personal. It's so in your face that it's hard. Once she hit it, which she did out of the park, it's hard for you... to go somewhere else and try and find something that would, you know, move you as much, because this movie is her, right? In everything else, she is a part of a machine, which most movies are. But this is her movie, and it's hard to compare that to other things that she's done.
Fair enough.
Okay. Andrew thinks it's better than Elizabeth.
Oh, well, I haven't watched that movie.
What?
So,
I don't know what I'm fishing to Douglas. Changing my pick. You should probably watch the two Elizabeth movies. She's incredible.
Yeah,
she's really good. Although I don't need to get
that.
She's really good.
Exactly. My only disappointment with this movie is I didn't get any dumb Andrew Dice Clay jokes.
Yes, Andrew Dice Clay is in this movie.
I wanted him to write in a joke or just mocking Andrew Dice Clay's career.
I thought you guys wanted me to watch this.
Louis C.K. is in it as well. This week in questions, I asked what's your favorite or at least your best January release film, because January is usually a dead area in movies in recent memory, and the internet responded, not many, but Ryan from the Matinee came in saying that he always looks to Cloverfield with a fondness.
I really like that.
I remember loving that movie that year, and I don't think I've watched it since that year.
No, bad person. You're a bad, bad person. I don't like you anymore.
No.
I love that movie. It's a giant monster movie. Of course I've seen it.
I know
it
you
many
do.
Times.
I know
what?
You do.
It was incredible.
Christopher Runyon from over at Movie Mezzanine mentioned The Grey. Hands down.
I guess he saw a better movie than I saw. The Grey is that wolf movie, right?
Yeah. Liam Neeson versus the wolf.
The movie sucks.
No love for Liam
Neeson. I'm shouting at you through Andrew's computer screen. Through the internet. That movie sucks. It sucks.
To the message boards.
Yeah.
Shouting to the message boards. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It
really does suck. That movie's terrible.
And my final and favorite response came from Peter Lobusa, from over at Lobusa Movies, who thought to goad me by saying, you know what I love? I love Haywire. Soderbergh movies.
Fair enough.
That was a fantastic January release.
I enjoy Haywire.
Haywire's alright.
I enjoy Haywire. It's not bad.
There's so many movies better than Haywire.
Yeah, but in January.
What do you mean? Did you not hear Ryan's response?
Someone put the grid on.
Yeah.
Someone thought that was funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It's a bad move. It's really bad.
So, continuing to ignore what the theater is doing these days, I'm very curious about something I noticed the other day, and this is one of those questions where anything can be an answer and it's perfectly fine. I was reading The Dissolve, and they were doing an article on, like a double feature, and last year they had, came out was Captain Phillips and A Hijacking, which are basically
the same movie,
right? And we can remember memories of things like Armageddon and
Deep Impact.
stuff like this.
Oh,
which kind of
times.
And I'm curious, I want to ask the internet, like, I want you guys to pitch me a theme double of a year. Like, movies that come up within the same year that work together as a theme double.
How's about Truman and Truman? Truman Capote and Truman Capote.
Truman Capote and Truman Capote was...
So, there is,
I know,
Capote,
there's Capote the movie.
And then there is In Cold Blood, which came out the same exact year, that was about the same exact story, just with different people. It was fantastic.
Last year was Olympus Has Fallen and
White House Down. Yeah. I wonder what I really would answer for that question, though.
Comic books and comic books.
Anyways, I just wanted to leave it out there because it's something that I always like interesting whenever it happens, and then I start to go, so which one worked better in the world, in the year? Which one was a better movie?
Mm. Oh, well, that answer is simple.
White House Down.
And it's the ones that people remember. Armageddon.
And the one that they remember only because it came out in the same year that one doesn't come.
Oh yeah, that did come out. Movie's terrible.
Man rocks me with one steady roll. There's no slipping when he once takes hold.
So, moving into the pitch game. If you don't know already, this game, basically the idea is that we're going to do our round robin where two of us pitch to one individual films that we're hoping they haven't seen, but we have. And whichever movie they pick, that person wins. It's basically just ways to make us trick people into watching bad movies.
Yep.
But I'm happy with it being that kind of a game. I'm sure Douglas does. Douglas, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Alright, so Douglas will go first, pitching to Damien.
Okay, so Damien.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be a short and a very sweet pitch, right?
Yep.
So,
nonsense.
Oh, of course. So, listen. An Australian superwoman, right, murders a shitload of people.
Okay.
Oh, I love this movie.
Right? And that's
Shouldn't have said that.
That's it. This movie, fantastic.
An Australian superwoman
murders all of the people.
All right. I don't want you to say anything. Straight to hell.
Why? Because I asked you to talk about Woody Allen. Is that what happened?
No, it's because you're the worst.
It's because I'm the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a fact.
So what if I told you there was a movie
in
which Vikas decides that he doesn't quite remember anything and wakes up just among dead bodies with a gun. And it's supposed to figure out what the hell is going on here. Some varied version of zombies and Vikas with a gun not knowing what the hell is going on in this world. I've ruined this pitch, however, but I'm just going to keep going because I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. And I'm just stopping there. I've ruined this completely.
That's not even a pitch.
I'm going to have to go with Douglas.
Yes!
Because at least Douglas pitched me a movie. You're like, Vikas wakes up around dead bodies, old dog and zombies. Like, what are you talking about?
So I know Douglas's movie, and it's Your Next.
Yes.
Which is Oh, Dolan Knight's actually awesome.
I saw that movie.
You have?
So you've lost.
Oh my goodness.
Andrew wins by default.
Oh my goodness. But what did you think of that movie?
I like it.
That movie's amazing.
That movie so much. When it starts out, I'm like, I know what is going to happen.
Of
here.
Course.
You guys think you're fun. I know this. I've seen movies like this. You guys are starting out. Oh, it's horror nonsense. But I know something is about to happen. Mm-hmm. And then it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yep.
You guys did a good job. Mm-hmm. I applaud you.
And when I watched that,
it's
realized...
It's barely horror.
Exactly.
Like,
that's the thing. So that's
like
the thing.
This
close
to not being a
so
horror.
I think you and me, Damien, mm-hmm. are, you know, famously kind of don't care deal with the horror movie genre, right?
So
but
bad.
I realize after watching this movie, that is absolutely wrong. I'm going to restate my position.
Mm-hmm.
I think that horror movies can be and are absolutely fantastic when they treat the horror like action, which is exactly what Your Next did.
You can't say that for the simple reason that you don't like horror movies. You don't like them.
Well, I don't know. To be fair, I just watched Insidious 2
and these are
that.
The exceptions. Like we keep what was the one with the small children and the pumpkin that we saw?
Trick or treat.
Right.
Yeah.
When we saw Trick or Treat, we were like, all right, if more of them are like this, like we do this every time we find one. We go, all right, if you guys are willing to make more of these, I'll watch all of the horror movies. But something that isn't strictly horror, but plays on a lot of the tropes, like Purge.
Mm.
We sat in that theater, and it was just...
horrible.
It was just
it was
anger.
Amazing.
Me and you just look at that. Like, what in God's like, we saw everything that was about. And think of that. That is one of the more high concept ones. Think about the ones that are just essentially dumb action movies.
Violence
of horror,
on screen.
Right? It's just.
But that's what Your Next was.
No. But Your Next realized what they were doing early. They're like, all right, these are the tropes. What if we just flip some of these things and we just. Move the movie and we just continue the movie. It was fun, barely a horror movie, mostly action. Like, if she had like a katana at some point, it wouldn't even have been a horror movie. All right, guys, yeah, we know yeah. You put this in the horror genre, but that's a load of shit. We all know what's happening here, but I've seen it. So, sadly, your movie can't win.
Zombie
know that she was Australian. What is Zombie Vickers?
Where do you think she was from? The US?
I was too busy watching the Kung Fu.
Pretty distinctive accent that she's got.
She was a
there.
Kiwi. Look, right. Like whenever I hear that accent, I'm too busy laughing in my head to really.
The movie I pitched is Open Grave.
Nope. I saw the trailer for that.
It's not that bad.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Douglas is looking at you like,
well,
he's high
and drunk.
I didn't
watch the movie, so I don't know.
I saw the trick, and even though my boy is in it, dog.
space guy.
In my number 5 movie of the year. Something like that. Sure. I'm not watching Open Grave, but nope. Sorry. Saw that trailer.
I didn't want to pitch you any Woody Allen movies. I don't think
he's
that would
watching nothing but Woody Allen movies.
I find that shocking. What, Andrew? I don't believe it.
Anyways.
Can't wait until he retires like Soderbergh.
I think he retired by like just dying in
yeah,
director's
that
chair.
Is, he's going to be, I know. He puts out like 9 movies a year.
But every once in a while they're worth it.
I'm sorry, what?
There's Vicky Cristina.
Fine.
We're going to talk about that in a while, I'm sure.
And as far
this
as I'm concerned...
This movie, barely.
No, this movie, definitely.
Mm-mm-mm. You keep flip-flopping, that's what
no,
you said.
No, definitely.
It is those two movies and Cate Blanchett.
Okay, fine.
So, to Douglas, then.
Okay, so we're pitching to Douglas?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You want to go first?
Sure,
I'll go first.
You
oh, I should
time it.
Time it.
Yes.
Let's go.
Did you want it to start?
Because he started.
Yeah, like...
You know how they make shitty movies about white people helping black people?
Oh,
what if I told you that instead of those shitty movies, someone sat down one day and, you know, those movies suck. All the same, how about we make a good one? And they did. They did.
About white people helping,
Black people in the middle.
Okay, Andrew, you have a very low bar.
Yeah.
Right.
I was looking at this synopsis and went, yeah, this is terrible. And then I went in and you don't know, like, the girl, I know her because of the TV show that she was in, but I'm 100% certain that you didn't watch a TV show. So, yeah.
All right. So, imagine there was a situation in which your grandmother on her dying bed told you that she had some really expensive jewelry that she happened to have sewn into your furniture that was sold off 10 years ago in the revolution, and you're dirt poor. What do you do in that situation? You go and you look for your furniture, don't you? So we follow a very, very young Skeletor.
Okay.
In a comedy with Dom DeLuise.
Awesome.
Where they're just killing everyone to find this furniture that was sold many years ago.
So Andrew,
wait. Can I do over my pitch, please? The reason I spent so much time, I was trying to remember the actress's name and it kept escaping me.
Tatiana Ali.
No.
No, okay.
You can tell him the actress's name.
Son of a bitch.
You can tell him the actress's name.
I'm trying to remember the name of the movie.
I know what it is. You want me to tell him?
Yeah, what's the name of the movie that I'm thinking of? You don't. Alright. So, you know Freedom Writers, that shitty Hilary Swank movie when she went to the hood and saved all the small black children?
I did not watch it.
Yeah,
but
for good reason, because you saw the trailer.
This
is garbage. We've seen this many times. What if I told you that they made that exact same movie, but really, really good? Like, out of this world good. That's my pitch.
Okay, Andrew wins.
Mm-hmm.
And for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, you are an idiot.
Yes.
And you pitch me the exact opposite of movies that I like.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you kind of got it right in that kind of sweet spot.
Uh-huh.
The one section that I...
avoid like the place.
It's not even that, you know, I like something and that is not a part of my... I actively dislike movies that sound like the one that you just pitched a while ago. So that's the main reason.
Fine.
The second reason is the movie Andrew just described to me is essentially the comedy version of a movie I was 500% upset with myself that I didn't get to watch at TIFF.
Okay. Alright, so Andrew, since you won, what's the name of
your
movie?
So, what's your movie?
So, my movie is the film The 12 Chairs. It's a very old movie by Mel Brooks.
Oh, awesome.
Alright, Mel Brooks.
And Frank Langella, isn't it?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It took me a while to realize it was Frank Langella.
And Lucy Mel Brooks.
He's so young.
You. This is a movie.
Oh, I've seen that movie.
You have?
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Yeah. It's okay.
You're
we watched it the
person.
Other day. I love that movie.
Short Term 12
person.
Is alright. And,
person.
Oh, yeah, she's...
Brie Larson.
She's
Brie
Larson. She's in Tara.
Yeah.
Also, you've got Jim from The Newsroom. You've got Rosa from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. And then you've got the other guy that I know from somewhere, but I've forgotten to look him up. Where is he from? Where is he from?
I don't know.
I know him from somewhere. But anyway.
We've seen it.
Yeah, we've all seen it. And that movie is good, but it's definitely it didn't.
And
probably for the same reason I just told you a while ago.
Right.
It was just like it didn't do the Intouchables thing, you know. It didn't like for some reason the Intouchables kind of made that 180 degree and then nailed it.
He was in 24.
24?
Yeah.
What was he in 24?
He was Marcos Alzacar.
I do not know him from.
He was also in Twilight movies. Is that where you know
no,
him from?
I do not know him from.
He's also in the Night at the Museum movies. I don't know what else to give you. Nothing else looks top shelf on there.
Really? Wow. But yes, I suppose I'm watching Mel Brooks, guys. And now it's time to pitch to Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Damien, oh, like I knew there was a reason why I turned off all of my stuff. Wait, I should bring back the timer.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Andrew Robinson, you've spoke many, many a time about your disgust of the Kung Fu.
I can't remember when I said that, but sure.
Andrew Robinson, what if I told you that I finally remembered and rewatched the movie that has the most, it has both the most and the best Kung Fu that you'll ever see?
I don't believe you.
Andrew, I know it is hard to believe, but Jet Li, the master of Kung Fu, he made a movie that is so good that I defy anybody to make a better Kung Fu movie. That's it.
Oh, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
That's all he's doing.
Okay.
I think I have a guess as to what movie yours is, even though I know I haven't seen it.
Alright, you can go ahead. So, Andrew, an idiot law enforcer tries to bring down the mafia, corrupt public officials, and pretty much the rest of the world that, you know, does bad things. And guess what? Andrew, he failed. And that's my pitch to you.
I guess I'm going with Kung Fu.
Mm-hmm.
All of the Kung Fu.
Yep.
Alright, now I'm not quite sure about the title, but does it sound a little bit like Once Upon a Time in China kind of title?
No,
alright, so what's this one?
In 1993, all the people from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, came together and made Tai Chi Master. Michelle Yeoh is in it. It is directed by, you don't know him, but he is the man. He is the Kung Fu man. And Jet Li is in it. And it is, Andrew, to say it is spectacular is an understatement. It is,
what's the name of this movie?
Tai Chi. It's very simple. Tai Chi Master. No, we're joking around. I'm like, yo, dog.
I think that's Michelle Yeoh in it. I love Michelle Yeoh.
Yeah, that's what he just said.
I said that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure I said that.
So, Andrew, you just gave up on watching
mm-hmm.
Kung Fu Hustle, except not so much Kung Fu and mainly based in America. So, American Hustle.
That is a terrible pitch. You gave a terrible pitch.
I don't want to watch that movie. I want to watch Kung Fu instead.
So much.
I was watching it this week. I'm like, this is incredible. Like, this movie came out in 93 and nothing has come close. Nothing has come close. A good man is hard to find. Well, you
always get the other kind. And just when you think... In 1942, I had already discovered women.
He kissed me! He kissed me!
That's the second time this month. Step up here.
What did I do?
Step up here.
What did I do?
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Why? I was just expressing a healthy sexual curiosity.
Six-year-old boys don't have girls on their minds.
I did.
For God's sake, Sally, even Freud speaks of a latency period.
Well, I never had a latency period. I can't help it.
Why couldn't you have been more like Donald? Now there was a model boy.
Tell the folks where you are today, Donald.
I run a profitable dress company.
Boy, sometimes I wonder where my classmates are.
So moving into our top five this week.
Ah, yes.
Damien's favorite discussion topic of all time.
My favorite director of all time.
We'll finally get his due as we sit down and we're going to do our top five Woody Allen films.
Yo.
I'm going to let Damien start this off.
Why on earth would he do that? What's his point? Hmm? I love him, so I'm just going to gush over all of his movies. In the number 5 spot, I have Manhattan, because it is one of the two old-ass movies he's made that I can't stand. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yep. So I want to just let everybody know I'm actually doing my list in order. Why? Because I only have 5 movies to choose from. And one of them is kind of suspect.
Also, I was the only person that had trouble.
Well, no, you know what happened to me? Mm-hmm. As much as I actually do love Woody Allen, I think he's hilarious. He's the funniest guy. I've watched quite a few of his movies and love them all. I watched all of those movies a long time ago. And so I think it would be unfair for me to actually put them on my list when, for instance, I was talking to Andrew about one of them where I'm like, okay, I remember this scene,
mm-hmm.
and I remember thinking that this movie was the funniest movie ever.
Right.
And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's unfair. There's some movies even where I don't even know what they're called, and
mm-hmm.
I go through his IMDb page, and I'm just like, I can't find it. All right? Probably because all his movies are the same. But I'm fine with that when it comes to his older years. But anyway, in the number five spot is a movie that I remember well. A movie that, while I wouldn't say it's one of my favorite movies, it was definitely an interesting concept, and I kind of enjoyed it a little while when I was younger. And that movie is The Purple Rose of Cairo, where Jeff Daniels walks straight out of a movie from right out of the screen in a movie theater and becomes a real person and does crazy shit with people who watch that movie.
I love that movie so much.
That movie's alright. I wouldn't say that it's, you know, great, but it's an enjoyable
movie. I know someone that would say it's great.
So my number five movie is one of his more revered films. It is Crimes and Misdemeanors, starring himself as well as Martin Landau. And what I particularly love about this movie is that while it'll have a lot of the Woody Allen trappings and the Woody Allen characteristics, it doesn't play itself off as a straight comedy. It actually does a lot of interesting looks into personal guilt and what that would do. I mean, we've seen a lot of dramas where people get away with murder, quite literally, and we end up seeing them basically take out all of that punishment on themselves that you would have seen happen externally if they had been caught and all of these stuff. And you kind of start to wonder whether personal morals is a greater punishment than any sort of external system that we can create. But, you know, I guess prison works too. I love Crimes and Misdemeanors.
It's back to Damien. Next on the list, Online Manhunt. This is a movie that I actually like. Husbands and Wives. I saw this recently and I went, oh, alright.
I'm seeing like that
it.
One.
I like it. It's... It is kind of distilled Woody Allen. It's not full on 100%, and I think that's what I like. I mean, he's in it. Should have preferred he not be in it, but... It was good. It was good. I like it.
My number four... Vicky Cristina Barcelona. Guess what, guys? Javier Bardem,
mm-hmm.
Scarlett Johansson.
Not so good.
That other chick, what's her name?
Rebecca
Hall.
Hall,
right? They're all pretty good.
There's
like
another
them.
Lady in the movie as well.
Penelope Cruz.
Penelope? Are we talking about her?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
What?
She's particularly
she's,
amazing
she's,
in that movie.
You know, she's nice to look at. She's good. The truth of the matter is, all of that movie is good. There is no bad part to that movie. I really do love it. It's been a long time since I've watched it, but I remember. Actually, I think we watched it for this podcast, and it was a good experience.
My number four is gonna be probably the obviously. Sorry, not probably. The most recent Woody Allen movie I've seen. And it's called Love and Death. As I call it on Audible, because Vicky Cristina was in my list. This movie is particularly strange.
This is happening.
because it plays out as if Woody Allen is sitting down and mocking Shakespeare and Russian literature all at the same time. As he sits down and he has this Russian story of this coward who's drafted into the war, and it goes throughout all of this history, and he will flip-flop between doing perfect Russian poetry, depressing stuff, to just throwing in generic phrases and watching people laugh at themselves, and then having Woody Allen be himself, where he's just like, no, I don't want to die, I'd rather just walk across the room when he's sitting down, and he's been challenged to a duel. The movie's crazy, it's borderline insane in how he just plays with time as we see now placed into Napoleon time, and it's just crazy. I love it.
Awesome. Alright, number three is Melinda and Melinda.
I always wanted to watch that. I remember that came out around the time when Will Ferrell was doing like not comedies, and I was like, I want to watch that.
This is the one that I haven't seen. Like, it's the furthest off in terms of ones that I've viewed. But I remember liking this, and I remember this being the first Woody Allen movie that I saw. And I went, oh, all right. It's not all trash.
Oh, Chewie's in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And watching, I went, okay, all right. Now, as Andrew just said, there's a couple people in there that may have
some bias
swayed my viewing, but I'm trying to remember if I saw Red Belt before or after watching this.
But was Red Belt really it for you, for Chewie?
Red Belt,
because I don't think it was for me.
That is because you had seen more movies with him at that point. I hadn't.
Yeah. Because I know I'd seen Dirty Pretty Things. I'm not sure if that really tipped the scale for me, though.
I hadn't seen Dirty Pretty Things as yet.
Because I saw that right out the bat when I came home in 2005.
Right. I'm not sure. I don't know, it's around the same time. Mm-hmm. Red Bell was it, because I saw that movie and went, I like this dude. And then every time I saw him in other movies, he's like, even when he's not in the best of movies, his presence on screen and his acting chops are just there on the face all the time. Even in that terrible TV show that I spent way too much time watching, that dancing one on the edge.
Oh my god, I'm still at episode 2.
He's still terrific.
Or episode 3 rather.
He's good in it, the rest of that show is just bad. So yeah, Melinda is my number 3.
Alright, for me, my number 3 is Midnight in Paris. I really do love that movie. And it's interesting because while I do like, I like, I like, what's his face? I like, Owen. Yeah, Owen was.
Mm-hmm.
He's a funny guy, you know. I think he's a funny guy.
You know what was funny?
What?
I saw Dan Harmon put up an old magazine cover. I think it must have been Entertainment Weekly or some shit, where they had it must have been like the week where Wedding Crashers came out,
because
they had the picture of Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn together, and the caption was something to the effect of, not since Aykroyd and Belushi, right? .. And everyone was like, so now 10 years later, can we just get rid of that?
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. But yes, that's another movie that I love. But I was really, I really liked, well, just the whimsical nature of that movie, but also what was interesting was the fact that it was Claire, right? So, as Damien, you said a while ago, Woody Allen is in like all of Woody Allen's movies. And Woody Allen was in this movie too, he just wasn't there in body. He was there in spirit, channeled through Owen Wilson, and I think he was the best person to play Woody Allen. He just did it perfectly.
Yeah.
But that movie was just great.
And you got some Rachel McAdams in there
too. Oh yes, and her I like.
So my number 3, I'm going to go ahead and give it to Blue Jasmine.
Yes.
Because we just finished talking about it. That movie is immense. I can't wait to watch it again, and I hope
that
I never watch it again.
This movie that I'm never going to watch again. His third best movie. Honestly, I feel that way about all these movies.
I'm purposely leaving a few movies off this list.
I know. No, really. Thanks. That was obvious to everybody else. It was pretty obvious to me. Alright. Number... It's pretty good. It's a pretty good movie. Number two is Vicky Cristina Barcelona, for all the reasons Douglas said. And this movie is tremendous. It is tremendous. It's just a great movie. It is one of, like, it is this and his number one movie on my list are the only movies from him that I would put in the love these movies category. I'm not his biggest fan. I don't like most of his work. And by most, I mean like 98% of his work. And it doesn't help that both the two gentlemen in this room and the rest of humanity treat him as if he walks on water. And when they point to the movies and go, "All right, those foolish Damien, you've seen only garbage like Scoop. Watch these,
Scoop,
and your mind
bad.
Will be destroyed." And then I sit there for two. All his movies are long. You sit there for 2 hours or so, and you come out and you're like, "You people must be on dust." Like, what are you talking about?
I challenge you to point me to a movie of his that's
they
more
feel,
than 95
they
minutes.
They feel like 2 hours.
Like Woody Allen in his old age, like, "I don't have enough time, so we're only going this."
Like, when I said, I mean, Kurt remarked a while ago and said his movies aren't that funny, Andrew got real defensive real quickly, which proves my point. His movies aren't that funny, guys. Nope. He might think he's funny. You guys might think he's funny. And him playing with the fourth wall all the time may come off hilarious to people who don't know what comedy is. But
I don't know what comedy is.
That is clear as day. It's like his movies... It's just they really aren't that funny, and so I just sit there. I'm like, this, and with all the other directors that I might have problems with, when people point to this is the thing, I can always watch it and go, "All right, guys, I'll accept that that is the like." Right now, I keep ragging on Ridley Scott because he's made just trash for the last couple of years. But if someone said it, "Yeah, but Damien, you remember he made Aliens." Alright, dog. Alright, he made. And I can't argue with that because that movie's tremendous. And he has other movies. Woody Allen, people keep calling up the same ones, which I'm surprised hasn't come up on any of your list. And I'm just sitting there looking at you like, "What are you guys talking about? I don't..." So, he has two good movies for me. Two. Vicky Cristina Barcelona is my number two, and we'll get to number one when we get there.
Okay, so my number two, speaking of movies that aren't funny, is Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex, But Were Afraid to Ask.
Love that movie.
Guys, this movie is amazingly funny. I mean, and it's... I love the way it's set up because it's very much kind of like, I guess you could compare it with, say, Monty Python and the Meaning of Life. It's broken up into separate segments, and each of them just has this outlandish concept. You know, I remember the ones I remember the most, right, because I watched this a while back. You have a guy, Gene Wilder, that falls in love with a sheep. He's like a doctor or a dentist or something like that, and it's hilarious. And then you've got, you know, I think probably one of Woody Allen's most iconic concepts or just visuals, the control center behind the sex.
He's like dressed up as a sperm.
Yes. Yes, it's Andro, Damian. Well, Damian, fuck you.
I haven't seen that. I'm looking at a clip of it now.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just what it is. It's clearly not anything that, you know. It's not comedy. Yeah, it's not comedy where you can look at it and be like, I'm looking for a funny, like, story that goes from start to finish. It's very much Monty Python-esque, where it's like, okay, I have a small story here, I want to just milk all the funny I can get out of this for 20 minutes and try and move on to another
is
one.
Is Archer also?
I haven't seen that movie in so long. I want to watch that movie again.
That movie is great.
So my number two movie is a movie I've mentioned previously. I mean, I've mentioned a while back, and I don't know if you guys decide to go and look it up, but it's Hannah and Her Sisters. The movie is starring Michael Caine as the Woody Allen surrogate. Even though Woody Allen technically is in this movie, it's very obvious when you watch Michael Caine that he's playing Woody Allen, alongside Mia Farrow and Diane Keaton, I believe. And it's just this fantastic romantic movie. It's probably the most romantic out of all of the movies in my list. When you look at them, while Woody Allen is still peppering in the comedy that Damian hates into every little piece of this movie, I can't stop adoring Michael Caine in this film, because I think there's a scene where you see that he's married to Hannah's sister, but is infatuated with another sister.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically, you see that he's found himself in the wrong side of town on purpose, just in order to walk into this woman. So he's basically been stalking her for the last 5 hours or however long, just to walk into her in a bookstore. And that scene alone just floors me completely. I love this movie. Like, I want to rewatch it now.
So, Damon, what is
your
number one?
Number one is Midnight in Paris. It's his best movie. It's the one that I like the most. He didn't try to be funny in this one. Told a story about people who are nostalgic about things, like movies they saw a long time ago, and treat that time and place like it is the best thing that ever happened. Discounting.
That's not funny.
Discounting. Yeah. Uh-huh. Discounting what reality is.
That look you did there, that's not funny.
Yeah, I understand. No. I'm not a... My job isn't to entertain people, though.
Damon, I like how you and me just decided from day one, we're not making audibles. If somebody takes our movie, I'm going to go with it, because
now
we don't have
five,
that many. Exactly,
now,
I have five too.
God,
I like enough that I'm able to take all
yeah, no shit.
and I left.
Well, no, I know I
old.
Like more. Like I said, Bananas is one, definitely. And I know I've seen a couple with Diane Keaton that I like, but I can't put them together and be like, it's that movie, you know, which sucks for me. So I need to really restart my Woody Allen education.
This movie is so good that I started to like the lead actor again. he doesn't just do Shanghai Nights and shitty comedies. He can be a good actor.
Oh, I remember Shanghai Nights.
Yeah, I like
Shanghai
so
Nights.
Good. No, you don't. No,
and wasn't there like a Shanghai Days?
There was Shanghai
Noon. Yeah.
Shanghai Nights.
Right.
And no, you don't like those movies. Because no one does.
I like them.
Someone liked them enough to make a second one. Yeah. Once that came
out,
it was all
Douglas's fault.
Everybody went, alright guys.
My fault.
Everyone, alright guys.
Do you realize that Sherlock Holmes is in that movie?
Like, Jackie Chan is a national treasure, but not even him.
So guess what, guys?
Mm-hmm.
My number one,
mm-hmm.
Blue Jasmine.
Yes,
this movie is kind of awesome. And as I said, the more and more I ruminate on it, the
mm-hmm.
more my mind just settles in. It's very much like winter, summer, spring, fall, and winter again.
A movie which
at the time I was like, it's okay, but slowly and surely, and it even got worse, or actually better, as I was talking about it on the podcast. to be like, hold on. No,
this movie is incredible.
Incredible. But
one person didn't like it, though.
I like his other movie, Theater.
And what about Mobius?
That's not his movie.
Yes, it is.
Wait, it is. Yes, I'm dumb. It is. Sure, it is. I love Mobius. My brain is gone.
But yeah, Blue Jasmine is great. Or maybe I should say Kate Blanchett is
yeah.
great. And I think
that.
The rest of the movie is acceptable. But no, to be fair, no. You know what, though? I really do want to watch that movie again to see if what I saw, which I think my main gripe with it was the way that it used the flashbacks. And I want to watch it again just to be sure that either I was right or what I hope is that I was absolutely wrong and the movie just works well on its own.
Yeah.
You know?
My number one is a movie I caught up with recently when I was doing this list, because I was like, I should watch more. I think I've seen like about 20 of his movies, but he's made 40. I should watch more. And I
Can
went
you
kind
imagine
of...
imagine watching 12
And this movie is actually his second film ever made, from 1969. It's called Take the Money and Run. It is a pseudo-documentary about a horrendous criminal, which Woody Allen plays, and just about his criminal life as he moves forward from as a child doing dumb shit like trying to steal money out of a gumball machine to an adult where he tries to rob banks and then ends up in an argument with the entire staff debating whether he wrote gun or gum. And I really, really love this movie. I think it's a movie... most like I know you've heard this story before, but most out of any other movie of his that I'd want to point Damien to and say, Damien, give this one a shot, like honestly, like see if this one will work for you, because like there, what he does in here is he literally does something where while he has the narrative going, he'll just pepper in the smallest of jokes that just keeps. There's one in there like when he's in prison, they're like, you're allowed one hot meal a day, and they just go steam, a bowl of steam. And, like, it's just so tiny and so corny and so weird, but just after one after another, eventually it just starts to wear you down and you start to love it more.
I think that's the thing, I think that is the thing about all his movies that Damien doesn't like, because it's that type of humor. All of his movies are effectively about 90 minutes worth of one-liners strung together. And I think that's what Damien just doesn't like. But on a similar topic, very much Woody Allen related, I'm pretty sure your answer, Damien, will be no. Andrew, have you ever watched What's Up Tiger Lily?
No, I haven't. It's a film I've been... like, I've heard only things about that movie, which is being that it used to be another movie, and he literally took that movie, recut it, and dubbed over it with his own jokes,
that's
all.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And I'm worried to watch
that movie. So, that is the movie that kind of set him on the path that he is now. That's what made him quasi-famous, at least at the time, and allowed him to, you know, make his other movies. Andrew, I remember distinctly watching that movie. I hate that movie. That movie is horrendous. So
the idea of what he did sounds horrendous.
Oh, well,
like,
no, actually, the idea of what he did, as much as you could argue it's disrespectful, I'm sure, but the actually, for me, that sounds like a fantastic idea. I think that could be hilarious. Just think of things like Archer. Think of things like that, and that is where in my head I put What's Up Tiger Lily before I watched it. Then after I watched it, I wanted to kick somebody. But yeah, have you watched that yet?
I said what? No.
You didn't say Woody Allen on the cover.
All right. So the movie that none of you brought up, and the movie that is trotted out every time I say, I think Woody Allen is overrated. Annie Hall.
I love that movie.
Yeah. You and the rest of the earth.
Is Annie Hall the one where she gets high and talks to herself?
Yes.
Okay, I've seen that movie.
Mm-hmm. And I've watched that movie. That movie is now officially in the
double Life of Veronique category of movies. Except I no longer, unlike the Double Life of Veronique, I have given up on Annie Hall. I've seen it about 4 times. Because for a long time I went, maybe I am wrong. Everyone wouldn't keep saying, Damien, watch this movie, if there wasn't something there. And I watched it. The first time I watched it, it was just active disgust on my face. Like, what?
I can't, honestly, any Woody Allen bias aside, I can't honestly understand how you will hate that movie and love 500 Days of Summer all at the same time.
Because 500 Days of Summer wasn't actively trying to be funny. And there was no one tearing down the fourth wall repeatedly in the hope of being funny. No one did that in 500. There was a singing and dancing routine. And I went, alright guys. I see, like, I gave that a pass, especially because 500 Days of Summer had that split screen thing that was incredible. That is the thing that I remember most about that movie. Not any of the other quirky nonsense. I don't have a problem watching quirky movies, right? They're not my favorites. You two know that. But this dude, like, they just keep trying, like, alright, Damien, anyhow. And I've watched it so many times, and every single time I watch it, looking for something. Right? Every time I watch it, I go, alright, Damien. They're, like, looking for the things that I didn't like the other times. So I'm going, alright, Damien, just give that a free pass. See if there's something else that you can... No. The storytelling isn't great in that movie. The story that is being told isn't great in that movie. And, like, when you read the write-ups, and you just go, what in God's name? And I keep going, alright, you know what? This one is just not, it's never going to happen. I just had to put it one side. And the only movie of his that I've made any sort of U-turn on is Manhattan. Like, I watched it the first time, I went, I guess this is a good movie, I guess. It's not great, not like how you people are talking. And then I watched it again, like, alright. Like, I watched it recently, and I went, all right, maybe there's something there. Maybe, as I gain, you know, more years in being a film snob, a flaming asshole, it will take over. It will wash over me over time. But right now, no. And guys, I know you guys think he's funny. And I will watch the Spur movie with Archer. I just going to start referring to him as Archer. But believe me, if it isn't funny, you're going to hear about it. Right? Like, I understand that you guys think that certain things are funny, and I have to accept that I don't find some things that you guys find funny. But holy shit, this guy isn't funny. There's something I want to say now that will force Douglas to stab me in the neck. And that is, I'm going to wait until after the podcast. It's about one of his favorite music groups. I don't want him to stop me.
While you're listening.
Yeah, not on the podcast.
So, I guess we can call that the end. Mm-hmm. I hope all of you are now popping in Annie Hall and Manhattan and going,
don't,
we have
don't,
to watch these movies
don't,
again.
Just don't. Unless you already love it, then by all means.
As usual,
I just want one person to say, like, you know how I love my shitty movies, right? I just want one person to say, like, to come to me one hour and go, Damien, like,
it's okay.
Like, we love the movie. Like, it's kind of dumb, right? Like, we know it's kind of bad, but we love it. Like, if one person would say that, I'd go, all right, yeah, right? I love the FBI, I understand that. I understand liking bad things like Cobra. I get it. But everybody's just, this is just perfect cinema. Did it even win anything? Let's use that. The thing that we should never ever use to judge our quality movie.
Are you really asking me?
No, I'm not. Don't do that. Are you crazy?
He's going to do it anyway.
He's going to do it anyway.
Thank you all for listening. Yeah. Okay. This is the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
Alright, just one person email me. I'm just going, yeah, dude. Like, you kind of write But we still love.
As usual, you can hear the show over at gmanreviews.com
and that is iTunes where
and Stitcher. Douglas, he's on Twitter. He's DJ. I lost his name, as well as working hard over at the Decaffeination Report.
Oh my god!
To go tell us stocks we should buy. Are we buying any stocks this week, Douglas?
No, we're not buying.
Not buying any stocks this week, Douglas.
Nope.
It's a sell week. Sell. Yeah, points.
Damon is at Damon_White on Twitter.
Not anymore. Cable and Wireless has taken that privilege from me.
I'm at GBrandReviews. So thanks so much for listening, and good night.